Hey, sister. Have you ever wished for some clear guidance from God? Pretty much every day, right? We see in Scripture how God led his people. He sent an angel sometimes. He gave visions. He made a pillar of cloud and of fire to guide his people. He even made a donkey talk one time. It seems so big and obvious when we read the Bible, so unmistakable for the people in that time to understand what God wanted them to do. So, have you ever asked yourself, why does it seem so foggy for me? Sometimes it seems like they all received direction and guidance, but why doesn't God send me an angel? Or why can't I hear his voice clearly directing me? What am I doing wrong that I don't receive, or at least I don't seem to understand, God's guidance? Sometimes we even think, in fact, we kind of know intuitively, right, that it's probably not God that has the problem, even if we aren't quite sure why God spoke in past times differently than he does now. But we look at ourselves and we're like, well, I must be the problem. I'm too dense. I'm too slow to understand. I'm doing something wrong. And there's no question that there are secrets to receiving and understanding God's guidance. But let's remember, too, that God cares about making things plain for us. So it's not an unfair game either. Sometimes I've heard people talk that way, like God must be hiding and he wants to make it difficult. Let's think about just one promise, and there are many, many more in the Bible, but just one promise. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. I think that's a beautiful promise because it reminds us that we can ask our God who is generous. He's not withholding. He's not standing back, just, you know, waiting for us to figure it out. He wants to give us wisdom, guidance, direction, and he's not going to rebuke us for asking. So I think that's a fantastic promise. And if you want to be able to discern God's guidance for decision making in times of crisis or change, or if you just want to be able to understand God's guidance and receive it in your everyday life, join me today as we uncover the not-so-secret secrets of God's guidance. Let's do this. Looking for something more in this middle season of life? Lie awake at night wondering what God wants you to do and how to hear his voice clearly? I see you, sister. We're in the messy middle. Hey, I'm Angie, midlife mentor and missionary. I was busy chasing all the things when one day I woke up in the middle. And it didn't look at all like I expected. I realized my faith was too flimsy to handle all the stuff midlife was throwing at me. And I wanted to serve God with my gifts, but I just couldn't get any traction. Until God pulled me out of the mess and put my feet on the path to a life of peace and purpose, right here, in the middle. In this podcast, you'll discover the next steps God has for you in this season. New ways to go deeper than ever before with Jesus, and biblical tools to walk this journey with more of everything God wants for you. You ready? Come on, we're not sleeping anyway, so pop in those earbuds and let's talk. So we are talking about guidance today, and guidance is actually a spiritual discipline or a spiritual practice. Now, what does that mean? Why is that important? Well, if something is a discipline or a practice, it means that we can develop it. We can become more skillful at the practice, the discipline, the action that we're talking about. It means there are principles. It means there are actions that we can take for seeking and discerning God's guidance. So, yes, on the one hand, God's guidance is something that is full of mystery. Because we are talking about the amazing creator of the universe who is beyond all. He's communicating with us. He's giving us guidance. And that is something that is, in one way, beyond our understanding and full of mystery. However, on the other hand, it does not have to be something that mystifies us, we could say. In other words, that we cannot understand how God wants to guide us. He wants to reveal to us his will. He is not hiding from us. He does not want to make it difficult. So it's mysterious, but it doesn't have to mystify us. It is a spiritual practice that we can learn and become more and more sensitive and skilled at. So let's just dive into the first secret of God's guidance is motivation. Jesus was speaking to his disciples in Luke 11, verses 34 through 36, and he says, "Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when it is unhealthy, your body is filled with darkness. Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant, as though a floodlight were filling you with light." Now, if we can get that picture in our minds, if we want to have the light of God's guidance within us, we want to know his will, we want that to be within us, we cannot be holding on to darkness at the same time. Okay, but what kind of darkness is this that we might be holding on to? Well, darkness in this case is anything that distracts us from hearing or discerning God's will. It could be our own personal desire to gain something. I want this, I don't want that person to have it. It could be just wanting the approval or the praise of others, or to avoid being seen as not as capable as someone else, or not as successful, or just to be seen in some way that is negative to us. Think about this. Darkness is anything that distracts us from hearing or discerning God's will. If I have my own motives for asking for a certain guidance or direction from God, my own motives may block my discernment of what God wants to tell me, the way he wants to direct me, because I have something deeper down inside of me that I'm holding on to. And so his guidance for me, I'm not able to be sensitive to because I have my own ideas. Now, we know that the human heart is deceitful, and really, it's true. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal us to ourselves. And so we must bring this to God in prayer and ask for purity of motives, ask for sincerity in our deepest heart, ask for the Holy Spirit to take away self and to make our motivation to be glorifying God in all things. That's the motive that we want to have, as 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us. Now, the second secret to God's guidance is kind of related, and I call it orientation. So we've got motivation, now we're talking about orientation. In John 5, verse 30, Jesus said, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." So you can see how this is kind of related also to our motives, but this is concentrating on our will. The will of the Father is what Jesus always was focused on. He was oriented to the will of the Father, not his own. And so the secret, sister, of discernment and of receiving and understanding God's guidance truly is surrendering or orienting our will to God's will, being willing to do his will, not my own. Am I willing? Or is there like a hidden controversy between my will and God's? I mean, obviously, this doesn't mean that I don't even have a will. I do. But I can surrender my will for God to shape and form and conform to his mind and heart, to be in agreement with his will. If your experience is like mine, there have been times in my life that I simply, if I was honest with myself and with God, I really was not willing to do anything other than my own will in the situation that I was praying for guidance about. This happened for me very often in dealing with relationships. I felt that I could see the best. I knew what I wanted, or I knew what was best for the person that I was seeking guidance for or about, or in the relationship. And I was not really willing to surrender my will and trust God's will. I wasn't willing. The only way I could deal with that is, again, to come in prayer with the Holy Spirit and ask God to make me willing. Make me willing. So I could at least be willing to be made willing. I will tell you this, sister, if you can surrender just that much, I mean, that's just a tiny, tiny little thing. You're basically saying, Lord, I don't want anything other than what I see and what I want here. But if you can make me want your will, I'll go along with that. I'm willing. And I'm telling you, he will take that tiny little seed of faith, that tiny little seed of willingness, and he will bring you into agreement with his will. And sometimes that's all we can do. That's just it. So orientation is the second secret to receiving and understanding God's guidance. The third secret of God's guidance is information. There are two sources of information, or two types of information, that I want to talk about in this secret. The first and most important source of information for discerning God's will is his word, the Bible that we have. Now, God will sometimes act with miraculous methods. However, that is typically when there is no other method that is possible. And even when he does act miraculously, he always acts in agreement with his word. That is, the Bible, scripture, a written word, and Jesus, who is the word made flesh, the living word, right? Let's just think of a couple examples. Let's say that I need a sum of money I need a down payment for a house that I believe that God wants me to have. So I am praying for guidance, and I'm praying for this sum of money, for something to, you know, for God to show up and direct. Now, an opportunity appears for me to receive just the amount of money that I need. However, the opportunity involves some kind of dishonesty or some kind of wrong that must be done to someone else in order for me to receive that money. Clearly, God is not in this situation, because he is not going to go against his own character of perfect love and against his revealed word in scripture, and also against his character as we see it in the living word in Jesus. Dishonesty, doing wrong to others, that is not going to be a revelation of God directing, right? Because it goes against the information of God's word. We can also think of Jesus when he was in the wilderness being tempted. In Luke 4, verses 9 through 12 tell us that then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off." The devil quotes the Bible here, so he's using the word of God, right? "For the scriptures say, he," that is God, "will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." But Jesus responded, and he says, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." What was happening here, we call it presumption, and it's an attitude or an action of disrespect. It goes like beyond boldness into something that is not appropriate. It's doing something or not doing something sometimes with the intent of testing God. It's actually a kind of manipulation. We can do this if we use God's word incorrectly or to try to support something that we want to do rather than having pure motivation, having our orientation, our will surrendered, right? We use his word and we say, well, this is the direction I want to go. And so God is going to do this. This is what God is leading in. But that is not the case. We are manipulating God's word, and we're trying to manipulate God, actually. I hate to admit that I've actually done this in my life, but I have to be honest. There have been times, fortunately, many, many years ago, I have grown out of this and I've learned to trust God. But years and years ago, there were times when I would manipulate God's word to try to make it like God is going to lead this direction. This is what he's going to do. This is where he wants me to go. When deep down in my heart, I knew that I wasn't really surrendered. I wasn't with pure motives. I was still holding on to self. So we can do that. Now, the second source of information that we want to talk about is our reason. It's common sense, actually. God expects us to act using the gifts and capacities that he's given us, such as reason. I mean, he's given us the ability to research and consider and consult and analyze. Yes, always we want this to be sanctified reason, that is, again, our motives and our orientation, our motivation and our orientation need to be correct for his glory, according to his will, but seeking out reasonable information. And yes, this kind of goes along with that manipulation or presumption. If we just sit back and we think we can do nothing, we make no effort to seek out good information, we just expect God to drop a big bolt of lightning as, you know, this is my message of guidance, that is not going to happen. God has given us tools, capacities, gifts to use, and he expects us to use that. So information includes both his word and other sources and other means of using our reason and all of these gifts that we have, all brought together. Of course, everything that we've been talking about is with the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. All right, sister, so let's think about these three secrets of God's guidance that we've been talking about. Motivation, orientation, and information. These have to be understood in the context of a loving and ever-deepening relationship with God, our Father, with Jesus, our Savior, brother, and with Holy Spirit, the one who guides us. This relationship is not transactional or just strictly business kind of thing. It's not like going to the ATM. I put my card in, I pull out, you know, I put in how much I want and I just pull it out. It's not even like going to an attorney or an advisor and paying a retainer so you can receive answers. It's not transactional. God does not want that kind of relationship with us. He has done some things like that in the past. We do see times in the Bible when it seems rather transactional, right? But through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit living within us, God's intention is for us to grow and to realize that he wants a relationship with us. He wants communication. He wants this guidance thing to be in the context of a relationship. As we come to know him better, we know his heart and his mind through his word, through the Holy Spirit. We're becoming sensitive to his direction and guidance. We become very sensitive to the way God works and the way God doesn't work. These three secrets, these are our first three secrets that we're talking about this week, are part of that sensitizing process. It's ongoing. It's not just a one-time thing either. This is an ongoing process as we live with the Spirit purifying our motives, as we are constantly seeking to orient our will and surrender it to God's will, and as we are daily seeking out information from his word and from using the gifts that he's given us in our daily experiences or when we are facing change or transition or questions, all of this is helping us to grow in sensitivity to God's voice, his touch, and his way of guiding us. But there is more. These three are just the very first part, and we are going to continue next week with more secrets of God's guidance. You will not want to miss it, sister. Join me next week. In the meantime, for conversation about God's guidance, join us in the Realize More with God Facebook group. I'll put the link into the notes. And my prayer for you, sister, is that the love of the Father, the grace of Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you as you seek to grow in discerning and recognizing His guidance in all things. Real quick before you go, if this podcast blessed you in some way, I would so appreciate it if you would share it with another sister in the middle. And the number one way you can bless me is to leave a written review for the show over on Apple Podcasts. I read each review, I love knowing what's touched you, and I get inspired hearing from you. You can also send me a DM and let me know how I can pray for you, or give me an idea of what you would like me to talk about on the show. I'll meet you back here same time next week. Until then, walk in God's grace and peace.